Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us, I want to say a special welcome to you. So glad that you're with us. Right now, we're connected to our Torrance campus over on Lomita Boulevard. So hi to everybody at Torrance. Great that we can be this way. Also, if you're watching at home right now, or maybe you're watching during the week, glad that we can be connected this way. We're in week five, our final week of a series that we've been in called Portraits. And the idea behind this series is that God is inviting us into relationship with Him, and hopefully we're inviting other people into relationship with God, and maybe invited into this church. Some of you are here today because someone invited you, and some of you are inviting other people, which begs the question, this: what are we inviting people into? What are we expecting people to experience in a relationship with God, in a relationship in being connected specifically here at this church? And in the video we just watched, you heard words that describe us as a church, understandable and Jesus-focused. But one word that comes up a lot is that word inviting. So what we're doing in this series is we're talking about what can we expect to have in a relationship with God and in a relationship here at the church. And if you're new with us or you missed any of these weeks, you can go on our website or our YouTube channel and check out our previous messages. When is the last time that you were invited into something or invited to some place and you didn't know what you were going to expect? And then you got there, and it was really not what you expected. I can tell you about me. This was just a little while back. I go to estate sales almost every weekend, and I used to go to estate sales to buy little pieces of junk for doing art and things like that. Lately, I've just been going in to snoop about how houses are laid out. I'm just interested. Oh, there's a bedroom over there? Oh, that's interesting. I wanted to be an architect when I was in middle school. So I loved drawing out designs of how things should look. So recently I was in a house in West Torrance, and I walked in, first floor, it was like, okay. And then one of the people running the estate sale said, "You need to go look at the upstairs bathroom." And I was like, "Oh, I do?" And I saw some people coming downstairs, and they were like, oh. And I was like, okay. So I went upstairs. At the top of the stairs was another person working the estate sale. And this person said, "Are you looking for the bathroom?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." And they said, "This way." So I filmed a video of me going into the bathroom in the primary bedroom. So here's a quick video. So I'm going into the bedroom here. This is the main bedroom. And I walk in, I turn around, and first of all, mirrors angled at 45 degrees. Don't pay any attention to that. Then I go into the bathroom. Okay, step up into the bathroom. Before the bathroom, closets. Okay, we've seen that, good idea. Another set of steps. Now here's the sink. So I was like, okay, another set of steps. Now here's the toilet and the bidet. And I'm like, where's the bathtub? You go through the shower, another set of steps into there. I was like, where? I got up to the top. I'm like, where am I in this house? And so I went outside. I was like, how is this built? I went in the backyard. This is how the backyard looks. That's the bathroom. They like built an addition. Now, listen, somebody is like, that's my house. Somebody here is like, that at Torrance, you're like, I live there actually. I just bought that place. I think it's great. I was concerned. Can you imagine getting out of the tub and just sliding down into the bedroom? I mean, at least put a slide in. That would be good. I nickname this trip the ascent to the toilet. And so this is stuck in my mind. And several times this year in particular, I've thought, this is a metaphor for life. That you go, hey, I'd like to get to this place. And you go, this isn't what I expected. This, what is this? Where am I going? And then you end up in a toilet, you know? Like that's, I feel like that's life. And especially now, I mean, we're living at a time right now where the future is uncertain. We're like, what can I reasonably expect from my country? What can I reasonably expect from my neighbors, my family, my money, my health? And sometimes even like, what can I reasonably expect from my relationship with God? Because there's some of you here that grew up with a devout faith and I've gotten to a place of kind of like deconstruction a little bit. Like, I'm not sure I even believe what I believed before. And there's some of you that like grew up ardently against faith or religion, and now you're here and you're kind of like, where am I? What's going on? When the future is uncertain and we want to try to map a way, sometimes we try to control it a lot. But what we're going to see today is there's a far better way for us to face the future, and that is through trusting God. Here's the main idea I want to share with you today. We can trust God even when the future is uncertain. Now, why can we do that? Well, there's a great book in the Bible that can help us figure it out. It's the book of Psalms. And I find this very interesting. You might find it interesting. When we think about how can I trust God in the future, we would think, well, the best way to know why we can trust God is to look for prophecies about the future that will tell me exactly what's going to happen. Or we can go back and look at laws in the Bible that tell us exactly how to live. But I think a very compelling argument about why we can trust God for our uncertain future is found in the Psalms, because the Psalms are actually prayers written by people in the midst of uncertainty who were looking to trust God. And so they're writing out these prayers and they're writing out songs to remind us that we can trust in God. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a few reasons why we can trust God from these prayers in the Bible. And then at the end of our service, we're going to sing a song, kind of as a way to wrap up the service, as well as a way to wrap up this series that can hopefully invite us to step out of here today with a different posture, kind of a different mindset, because the culture around us is saying, oh, the world is terrible. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh, this is really bad. We don't know what to do. Wouldn't it be great if we could walk out going, well, whatever direction the world goes, I'm trusting in God here. Let me jump in with the first reason why we can trust God when the future is uncertain. And it's this: God has done so much for us already. Look at this beautiful psalm. It says this: O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. Now, this kind of reminds us that a key component in trusting God is having a good memory, remembering things. Sometimes we're so forward-looking that we don't look back, or when we do look back, we look back on the hard times and the terrible things that have happened to us. But there's something powerful about looking back on what God has done in our lives and allowing that to evoke some powerful emotions. I'll give you an example of this. Because some of you might be like me, where you're like, I don't know, it's kind of hard for me to remember some of those things. So here's a quick survey, right? Get ready to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you woke up this morning. See? That's one thing right there. Now, I'm being a little cheeky, but the goal is, a lot of times it's in those small moments. Sometimes we dismiss the power of a deep breath, the power of all the people that are actually obeying traffic laws. Amen. The person that smiled when they walked past us. That little ache or pain that we had, and for a period of time during the day, we forgot that we had an ache or pain. It's those moments that empower us to gratitude. And not just physiologically, it's that moment a while back where you didn't know if the money would come in and then there was an unexpected gift or a regular paycheck. And I think sometimes in Western culture and in kind of first world culture, it's easy to look past some of that stuff. So what would it look like to go back in your story, maybe even going all the way back and saying, where was I born? What were the circumstances I was born in? What are some advantages? What are people I knew? What were some things that happened? And allow that to awaken a sense of gratitude in you. And how can that help you go forward? Now, I think about that when it comes to being here at this church. You have been invited to be part of this church. And let me tell you about some of the wonderful things that have happened in our church. Our church was started over 100 years ago. 100 years. That's almost half the time that the United States has been around. 100 years. And our church started actually over on 26th Street in Hermosa. And then it got a little bigger, and they wanted to move to and build a building. They raised a whopping $40,000 to build a building in Hermosa, and it was amazing. So here's the building as it was. We were originally called Community Baptist Church in Hermosa. This is Pier Avenue in Manhattan. This building isn't here anymore. It's now like a land development office right now, you know. But they built this building, and then they were like, we're growing again, we need another place. So they raised money, and they decided to build this location here on Manhattan Beach. So on 4 acres, Prospect and Gould Lane. So Gould came all the way up to here. And this was an innovative building. I mean, this was a lot of, there's a lot of open space around here, and they built that. And we've been on this campus since 1957, and then just recently we opened our Torrance campus, which gave us an opportunity to expand even more. And along the way, as God was doing these things, he was raising individuals up to participate, all of us. Let me give you some portraits of some people that have been really influential lately. This is Mike. Mike leads, he's at our Torrance campus. He leads a life group there. Mr. Hospitality, Mr. Availability, amazing, amazing guy that is just really has an eye out for people who are new and who are kind of checking out church for the first time. Here's another one of our pioneers. This is Gina. Gina's sitting right over here, by the way. So Gina is involved in kind of everything. She helps lead a life group, involved in our tech team, our hospitality, all kinds of things. And Gina has this incredible spirit and the incredible ability to make people feel welcome. And this is Jesse. Jesse and his wife, Frankie, helped launch our Torrance campus. And so serving all the time, serving every week in our guest experience area, just key people who caught the vision that our church isn't just for the people who are here now. It's not for us. It's actually for a bunch of people that have never made it or aren't here yet. Kind of like the church in the 1920s in Hermosa Beach. They were thinking, oh, we need to move to that corner of Manhattan Beach because there's people that want to show up. They're not here yet. We need to make room. And we need to be ready for them. Now, why do I explain all this stuff and some of these individuals? Well, we put together an annual report, and if you didn't pick this up during our annual meeting, we have some right outside. You can pick one up on the way out. And it's just filled with all the information of things that have happened, lives that have been changed. Here's people that have been baptized. Here's people that have said yes to Jesus. Here's the groups that we have. Here's the outreaches we have. Here's the amazing stuff that God has done in and through us that we can remember. Because sometimes you go, oh yeah, I forgot we did that. Or I forgot my church did this. Or I forgot I was a part of that. And that can help stimulate that first reason, right? One of the reasons that we can trust God when things are uncertain is because God's already done so much for us. And sometimes when you open up a booklet like this, you go, oh, I forgot about that little piece of information. And sometimes knowing the specifics and the little is important, because here's another reason we can trust God with our uncertain future. God delights in our details. Here's what I mean by that. God knows your personality. God knows your temperament. God knows your current work situation. God knows your health. He knows your body better than the doctors and the technicians do. God knows what's in your bank account or what isn't in your bank account. God's aware of all those details, and he's not just looking at, he actually cares about all those little details in your life. He knows what's going on at home. He knows the things you're celebrating with your family. He knows the challenges. In fact, God knows it so well that God brings blessings and special opportunities in your life. And at times, when God wants you to grow, he'll bring specific challenges. He'll actually create opportunities for you to grow as a person. Sometimes they're pleasant opportunities, and sometimes they're unpleasant. Now, you might be thinking, gosh, I don't know. When I'm sitting outside and looking up at the stars, or I'm down at the beach, I just get a sense of how big God is. And I'm like, does he really care about the details? Here's a psalm that speaks to that. When I consider your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You look out, you go, some of you grew up in an environment where you were told, well, God's got a lot to do. He's not really that focused on you. Well, God, you might have even started prayers with, God, I know you're real busy, but I got this little request. And you might be dismissive of that, but the Psalms, these beautiful prayers remind us, actually, God's in the details. Look at this one. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Those decisions you're making, those challenges, those opportunities, those sources of inspiration and gratitude, God's like, I'm in there. I'm actually guiding and directing and even ordering things in your life because I care about you. And some of the situations you're in, you're like, this is kind of unpleasant. And God's like, I know, because I care about you. And in the same way that sand produces a pearl, sometimes I'm going to bring challenges into your life to refine you in ways that pleasant opportunities won't do it. And that's because I care about you. If you're in one of those situations right now where you're stuck in something financially, health-wise, a relationship, it might be good to not say, God, how can you get me out of this? But God, what do you want to do with me while I'm in it? Because God's not like, well, I can't do anything. My arms are tied behind my back. Sorry, you just got to deal with it. God's like, no, I might have actually orchestrated this challenge to grow you in a way that you never imagined. And that's because when we step into the uncertainty, God actually has a plan. And God's way is the best way. And that's one more reason that we can trust him with our uncertain future. God leads his people in the best way. Now, is it possible to be in a really negative, unpleasant circumstance and end up going the wrong way? For sure. It's happened to me all the time. It's probably happened to you. We have a choice when we find ourselves in unpleasant or uncertain circumstances. Some of us are prone toward avoidance. If I don't think about it, it'll go away. Some of us are prone to blaming our unpleasant circumstances on someone else. This is their fault. This is the enemy attacking me. But what you see in the Psalms is this regular return to, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you doing in me? What are you wanting to draw out in me? And that's kind of the response that we should have in the midst of uncertainty and unpleasantness. Rather than trying to control our external world, we need to say, God, what are you doing in me? Look at this great prayer from the Psalms. It says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. When we say, show me the right path, point out the road, lead me by your truth and teach me, how does that work? Well, I actually think it works by a lot of the stuff we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. It has to do with getting together with a group of other people who are striving to follow God and sitting down and reading the Bible together and saying, what are you seeing here and how is it impacting your life? And how can I encourage you to follow God in this way? And how can you encourage me? It means having a regular time during your week where you quiet yourself and you pray and you talk to God. And then you spend some quiet moments listening. I've been doing this since we started this series. I've been reading one psalm a day. And the beginning of the psalms was rough. A lot of it is like, my enemies are attacking me and God, you know. And I was like, I don't know if I relate as much to those. But just reading a psalm, and I read it out loud, and then I just sit quietly. And I say, God, is there something in this that you want me to get? Is there something you want to say to me through these prayers? It's by being involved here at church. It's a big transformative element in the spiritual life is inviting people into the spiritual life. Some of you might have plateaued in your spiritual life because you've gotten to a point where a lot of it is about you. Something powerful happens when you actually say to somebody, hey, I wonder if you come to church with me, I think you'd like it. Or when you're sitting next to somebody who's never been to your church or a church in general. Some of you had that experience. Some of you are experiencing that right now. Something powerful happens when not only we're nurturing our relationship with God, but we're actually intentionally trying to nurture other people's relationship with God. Now, maybe you're in one of those places in life where you're like, I want to go in the best way, but I'm not. I think I'm headed in the wrong way. Well, good news. You can turn around at any point. In fact, if you're at one of those places, and maybe you're at one of these places in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in your personal habits and behaviors, where you've kind of been going the wrong way, and God's like, I got the best way. All you have to do is say, God, I want to turn around today. God, give me the ability to trust you, to put my hope in you. Lead me in the right way, in the best way for me. And maybe during this song we sing at the end, that can be a part of that singing, can be that prayer of, God, today might be the day for you to turn my life around. I'm going to start something fresh. Because there is a best way. There's a great future out there. Let me tell you a few things we have on the horizon here at the church for our future. We've got a few things coming up that I'm really excited about that we get to do together. One of them is we're calling it, for lack of a better term, we're calling it our One Degree Project. And what we're going to be doing starting here at the end of the year and the beginning of the year is we're going to start really being much more engaged with the community here in the South Bay. We have this idea that what if everybody in the South Bay was just one person away from Journey of Faith? And not because our church is so awesome, it is, but it gives us an opportunity that when God awakens a heart of somebody, they go, yeah, I think I need to get close to God. I know that Journey of Faith place. And then we'll be ready. So we're going to get involved in some community areas and some local events and stuff like that. And we're going to get to do it together. It's going to be really great. We got some great messaging coming through the year. Next week, we're starting a series called Beloved or Beloved, depending on how we're going to refer to it. It's actually, we're going to go through a letter in the New Testament written by John, one of Jesus's youngest disciples. And it's all about the importance of love. And what does love look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus and be loving? And I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air, but also very challenging given the culture we're in. The culture we're in is very polarized, defensive, antagonistic. What does it look like to be Jesus people? And so we got that coming up. And then at the end, we're coming up quick to the end of the year, actually. Christmas is going to be coming up really soon. And this place kind of blows up at Christmas. There's a lot of people here. And so some of our environments during the Christmas season are not as hospitable as they could be. So usually during our Christmas services, there's about 200 people or more for two services over in our education building. And it never looks good. And some of you you came in later and you're like, oh, I got to be over there. So we're going to kind of fix that up to make it look like a real venue. Here's a little rendering of what we're going to do over there. And the goal is we want everybody to have a great experience. Now, this is just a little bit of a tease because Torrance campus, which looks a lot like this, has gotten a lot of love over the last few years. We've put a lot of work into it. It's really a great campus. If you've never been there, it's really interesting. I was there a couple of weeks ago and somebody walked in. They said, I haven't been here yet. And they walked in. They were like, oh, this is like a real church in here. I was like, yeah, that's what it is. So what we've realized, though, is that this campus has not been touched since 2008. And that's when we built our kids' building. And we're kind of propping stuff up and patching stuff, and we need to do something bigger. So we're in the process of rethinking how to utilize our Manhattan Beach campus, and that's a little ways away. But we're thinking about that now in the same way the people in the 1920s were thinking about all of us. Let me show you a picture from back then. Here's old school Baptist church, got the choir and everything, but there's a real interesting sign in here. You see it? We'll go over into the corner here. Building today for souls tomorrow. That was the vision. We're here today because people back in 1911 and 1920 and 1950 weren't just thinking about themselves. They were like, there's like 800,000 people in the South Bay. We got work to do. What if they all showed up? Wouldn't that be great? What would we do? Are we ready? So we're going to be kind of talking about that. Can we predict the future? No. Do we know exactly what God's going to do? No. But we can trust God when it's really uncertain. And that means we need to be praying and being forward thinking about how our relationship with God can help us in the future. So an action step for today, prayerfully consider how you can be part of God's plans for our next steps. And here's a little review of what we talked about, right? We can trust God even when the future is uncertain. God has done so much for us already. We just look in our own history of our own lives. Just look at last week. You don't have to go back to 1911 as a church. Look back into your life. Keep a record. Make a journal. God delights in our details. Don't dismiss the small things in your life thinking God is busy. God is not too busy for you. Jesus once said, "The swallows are the smallest birds, but God cares for each and every one of them." Don't you think he cares more for you? Jesus said, "God can count all the hairs on your head." That's an encouragement to some of you. Not me. And then God leads his people in the best way. God has a best way for you. It's not always the smoothest path. It's not always the most pleasant road. But it is for God's glory and your good and the good of others. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song together. Would you all stand, and we're going to pray. I'll invite our band to come out here and get ready for us so we can sing this song together. God, we're going to sing a song now that's really about you. Part of it's about us, but it's really about you. And God, as we sing this song, would you accept this song as our prayer, a prayer of trust in you for the future? We don't know what the future holds, but we know you hold the future. So God, as we sing to you, may it make you happy. In Jesus' name, amen.